everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing new ideas, concepts, guests, team. Help me lead a positively, more positively minded life. Sure. Helps me do it. Hope it helps you do it, too. In the studio with me, of course, Lauren Sykes, Linda Vanilla. Here's a big question that we have. It has to do with family secrets. We've been exploring family secrets and how family secrets affect people. There's no question that family secrets are destructive, but it matters mightily when and how you reveal them. If revealing them becomes the idea. There are times I know people have asked me, they go at transition times, you know, at weddings, graduations, and new beginnings. That's not the time to do it. Now, as a therapist, I'm a professional secret keeper. I'm often the very first person with whom somebody risks telling a secret that they've had for a long time. And now they're protected by HEPA. They're protected by I can't tell anybody. I won't tell anybody. If nobody's life is in danger, these secrets are protected by law. Several decades of helping people struggle with secrets have taught me that they have an awesome and sometimes paradoxical power to unite people or divide them. Now let's think about that. From government conspiracies to couples having affairs, secrets permeate every level of our society. Secrets have existed throughout time, but the nature of secrets have recently changed in this society. Today's families face special dilemmas about secrecy, privacy, silence, and openness, and that's what we're talking about today. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We live in a culture where messages about secrecy are truly confusing. If the cultural norms once made shameful secrets out of too many events in human life, we're now struggling with the reverse. And the reverse is that telling secrets, no matter how, when, or to whom, is morally superior to keeping them, and that it's automatically healing. My own, and exposure to all of the media. I mean, now look at our media. Oh, we've discovered a secret. You know, there's even a newspaper, I forget the name of it, that is just about secrets. Here's secret this. Here's a secret discovered. Here's a secret photograph. Here's a photograph of somebody taking a bath. Right, let's publish that in the front page of the Post. Let's talk about people's secrets. That's one. My own experience, however, has shown me that telling secrets in the wrong way or at the wrong time can not only be remarkably painful, but destructive.
Well, Armand, we thought about four main ways that family's secrets shape and indeed scar us. And in many ways, the first being that they divide family members, and that can lead to a permanent division.
Well, before that, we have some questions to concern ourselves with. When should a person keep a secret? How do you tell a secret without hurting anyone? How do you know the time is right? See, these are really important questions, Linda. Yes. Before the other one, sometimes I've witnessed with terror, sometimes with joy, but always with deep respect, families making the courageous journey to go from secrecy to openness. Secrets are kept or open for many complex reasons. Some self-serving abuses of power. Some people who like to use it as power, which we'll talk about in the form of triangulation, to an altruistic protection of others. Sometimes you just want to protect someone. Understanding the best way in the situations in which you reveal a family secret, understanding that is something that we've put together for you to try to maybe consider it yourself. So let's talk about secrets and how secrets sabotage. Although we encounter secrets in every area of life, they're perhaps most destructive when they're kept in the home. Now, secrets, if I say secrets, everybody thinks sexual right away. Sexual secrets. But there are more secrets than that. I know a woman who told me about her parent and her mother who always lied about everything. A man I know whose father always lied about everything. And no matter what the truth is, there would be a lie. If you were to say how many people came to the movie, instead of saying 10, he'd say 20. And she would. She would always exaggerate. Now, you're a child, and you're listening to your parent lie on the phone. They're lying. And they're lying talking to someone else. And you're not allowed to tell the truth. And you know you're not allowed to tell the truth. You're not allowed to pop up and say, no, Mommy, no, Mommy, that's not true. There are 20 people. You're not allowed to do that. So you become a colluder to the secret. You're already there. You're already having a collusion. So what happens to a child's mind when they realize that their parents can easily speak to someone else about a truth that's a non-truth, and then your parent turns around and looks at you and says, I love you and I cherish you? Well, how could you believe them? So it's got to freeze you. It's got to do something to you. And that's only part of what happens. Part of what happens with, in my own experience, they show me that telling secrets in the wrong way can be painful, but what we want to know is why are they there? Trust and communication with each other is important. If family members keep secrets from each other or from the outside world, the emotional fallout can last a lifetime. And this is where what you were asking about, Linda, comes in. You know, the four ways that people shape and seek us. Okay, so what are the four things that people do?
Well, first, again, Aman, first is that it divides family members, and it can lead to, indeed, a permanent division within the family.
Sure, so that's kind of the automatic of it. I know something you don't know, and I can't tell you about it, and you're my brother or my sister or my mother or my father, and we're separated now and forever by this secret. They can also discourage people from sharing information with anyone outside the family. There's very often, I remember the thing from The Godfather, never talk to anybody outside the family about family business. Well, why not?
Well, that makes intimate relationships very difficult, doesn't it?
Why is that?
Well, how can you trust? Your trust has been violated and you're frozen in that. You know, if I can't trust someone within the family, how can I indeed go outside of the family? How can I have that intimate relationship without lying, when in fact it's something that I have seen and been experienced as a familiar place?
It could also freeze development at crucial points in life, and I've seen this, preventing the growth of self and identity. I remember I've told a story before about the boy who saw snow falling in front of his eyes. He was a guy who came to me for treatment, and he had this condition, which was a hysterical condition, because the doctors couldn't find anything about it, where he had snow falling in front of his eyes all the time. And we went back and we traced it through hypnosis, and we found a time when he was a young boy, when his father and mother divorced, when he was at a ski lodge, where at this ski lodge with his mother, he asked his mother that he wanted to go out and play in the snow with the other boys. And she said to him, no, you can't go out there. It's much too cold. Now, here comes the boy stuck in what's called a double bind. He sees an honesty. He sees a truth. But he's not allowed to reveal it, because if he reveals this truth to Mommy about, no, Mommy, it's not true, it's not too cold out there, look at the boys out there, then he has to face the fact that Mommy is lying to him. But if he has to face the fact that Mommy is lying to him, what else did Mommy lie about? Like, where did Daddy really go? Or do you really love me? So in order to protect himself and his relationship with his mother, he looked outside and he saw snow falling. He created the condition so that the snow was falling in his eyes. When I asked him during that time, what did he really want to say? He said, I really wanted to say, no, mommy, it's not true. It's not cold. You just want to stay in here with the ski instructor. Well, after getting to the emotions behind that, when he finally expressed it, the snow disappeared. And that's what we see all the time in this work. We see people frozen in time, stuck at a time when they were forced to keep a secret. So it prevents the growth of self. I have seen people, and many of you I'm sure know women, who have been abused sexually in early childhood, who freeze their sexual development. They stop developing. They stop their hormones because they know that they have to keep it under wraps because this is, and it's a secret because there's somebody in the house who is going to be abusive to them and they're not allowed to talk about that. I have seen boys, young men, who stay little boys because they become alienated with their mothers. We talked about this again yesterday. They become alienated from their mothers and they're not alienated, they become united with their mothers against dad in a form of triangulation where mom talks about dad and what's wrong with dad. The son's not allowed to talk to dad about it, so he and mom have a secret. Well, you see those young men nowadays, and they could be 20 or 30 years old, and they're attracted to older women usually. They're attracted to women in their 50s. And so women in their 50s say, this is really nice because a young man is attracted to me. But what that young man is doing is repeating his family struggle of alienating, of staying alienated from his father by attaching to his mother very often. This is not the case in all the time, but it's frequent. So just by holding a secret somewhere there in early childhood, you could freeze your development. And those young men freeze their development. They stop from going from boy to manhood. And many of you out there know what I'm talking about. The other thing they could do, they lead to painful miscommunication within a family. And they cause really a lot of guilt, shame, and doubt. If you can't trust your family, who do you trust? You trust your best friends? Now, a little earlier, Lauren, what was your question about?
I was wondering about the power that people have with knowing that they have a secret and getting off on divulging those secrets to others.
Which is the definition of gossip. In effect, there you have, you become the source of information. The source of information is somebody who knows secrets. And then you whisper the secrets. Then you tell other people secrets about it. And you build your relationships on secrets. Now, you know, if you're a friend of the secret teller, of the gossiper, that anything you say can become grist for her mill. You know? Grist for DeMille. This is Armand, Grist for DeMille, here with the Positive Mind, WBAI. Now, a person who seeks to undo the damage caused by family secrets has to deal with the task that this thing is not a betrayal, but a necessity. It's never too late to do so, most likely. You know, even if your parents have got Alzheimer's and you're like, it's never too late because it's meant to free you. So here's how we go about shattering the triangle. Now, not all secrets are destructive. Many are essential to establishing bonds between two people. When siblings keep secrets from their parents, for example, they attain a sense of independence and a feeling of closeness. But the creation of any secret between two people in a family actually forms a triangle, and it always excludes and therefore involves another. So if the two siblings decide they got to keep secrets from mom. Hey, we smoked a cigarette. Hey, we doing a little pot or whatever it is. You now are alienated from your parent. And that could be part of the growing up that may be necessary. In some families, parents are perceived not as you have to create a secret to get away from them, but the parents are graceful enough that they allow you to grow, and very often you don't see those secrets in that family. But when family members suspect that important information is being withheld from them, they pursue the content of the secret in ways that violate privacy. So now you have two kids who aren't telling mommy the truth. So mommy starts checking through the pockets of the boys. What's this? That's a common expression. What's this? What's that? As if they're discovering. There's a mother who reads her daughter's diary. I know a man who reads his daughter's Facebook page under an assumed name, or used to do it. He stopped doing it. And he was befriended, and therefore he could see all the stuff she said. And she was saying nasty stuff about him to her friends, but he wanted to hear it. So he invaded her Facebook page. Nowadays, there's so much information out there. It's so easy to find out what somebody is seeing or thinking or what their secrets are. A husband rifles through his wife's purse, right? What's this business card doing in there? Relationships corrode with suspicion. Conversely, family members may respond to a secret with silence and distance. So now you know that he is lying to you. And what do? You just fade out. That's it. You're dead. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere, but you're dead to me. And so we can go through the motions of being a couple. I'll even have sex with you if that's what you want, but I feel nothing anymore towards you. In fact, if I were to let myself feel anything, it might be hatred, but instead I'll feel nothing. Common. So family members respond to a secret with silence, distance, but it affects areas of life that have nothing to do with the secret itself. Now you're just plain numb. Either way, the secret wedges the boulder between two people, and they know it and they don't know it at the same time. To remove this obstacle, families must break the triangle formation. You got to break the triangle. You got to say no more triangles in the family. So your mother comes to you and wants to talk about your brother. You say, no, you do not talk to me about my brother. Your brother wants to talk to you about mom. Say, look, I'm not going to do this with you. We'll all talk together, and you try to break the triangle. I've seen families, I recently saw a family that was alienated between a mother and brother and a daughter and sister. And the sister and the brother were alienated from each other until they decided to not do that anymore. And what they found was like almost a first-time relationship. An interesting thing is developing, kind of interesting, and this is at age 60. Now, sometimes people come to, let me give you an example of Molly. Molly first called during what should have been a joyous time. She had just given birth. Her happiness was bittersweet, though. Molly felt the deep need to surround herself with family, but hadn't spoken to her brother, we'll call him Galvin, in 6 years. The reason, I discovered, reached back 30 years to a secret by Molly's mother. When Molly, Calvin, the brother, and the youngest sister, Annie, were teenagers, their grandmother committed suicide. Molly and Annie were told she died from a heart attack. Only Calvin, the eldest child, knew the truth. His mother made him promise not to tell. His sisters sensed a mystery, but if they talked about their grandmother, their mother switched topics. Making secrets soon became the family's way of being. Their aunt committed suicide 2 years after their grandmother's death. Calvin even fathered a child out of wedlock, but he didn't tell his sisters that he had a son. Each secret was kept from Molly and Annie amplifying the family pattern. And here's what happened in the family pattern. Molly and Annie, the two sisters, were in one place. Calvin and his mother were in the other place. Two sets. Eventually, Molly gets the truth about her grandmother's death, but in her family style, told only Annie. She only told her sister. She never told her brother. Secrets between Calvin and his mother were matched by those between Molly and Annie, and it just eventually separated them almost completely. At one point, they opened up the secrets, and they were so relieved. They were so relieved. It was almost like you're getting together for the first time. From the outside, the family looked like two close pairs, Calvin and his mother, Annie and Molly. But the pairs were triangles. They were actually triangles. Calvin and his mother distanced themselves from the girls with their secret, forming one triangle, while Molly and Annie, keeping their own secrets from the rest of the family, formed another. Molly convinced her two siblings to enter therapy. Now, this is a very interesting thing to do, because we as therapists are very sensitive to the fact that we are going to become the keepers of more secrets. Well, this is a silly thing. Somebody comes to me and talks to me about somebody else, but they're telling me secret information that I'm keeping secret. And now they're talking about their husband or wife. And I sit there and I listen to this. As a therapist, what am I doing? Am I making the person sicker? Or am I making the person more sane by listening to their secrets that they're telling about someone else? What is my job? My job is not to listen to the secrets. But you know, as a therapist, you can't make a buck if you do that. As a therapist, people want you to be their confidant. They want to tell you secrets, and they want you to keep the secret secret. Worse than this, the worst case I know of this, and oh, please, even though I may have done it in my life at some point, if you're ever in therapy with a therapist who suggests that you bring in your mate, you should run right away. Okay, but let's say you do bring in your mate, and you have one session. Now you have one session and the mate says, look, I'll make a deal with you. I'll treat you both and I'll still treat you individually. This is against the rules. It's you can get sued for that. I mean, because what are you going to do? You're going to have secrets that one person tells you and you're not going to tell the other person you know the secret. So a woman I know went to therapy with a therapist and she was having an affair. And she told the therapist she was having an affair. The therapist wanted to work out things with her and her husband, so they brought the husband in. So during the relationship between the therapist and the husband and the wife, they had sessions, but the therapist, of course, never mentioned the affair, and neither did the woman. They had these sessions, and they worked with these sessions, and eventually the husband found out that the woman was having an affair. And then he realized that for 6 months of therapy, the therapist knew about this but wasn't telling him. They got divorced. He had her license taken away. He actually brought action against her, and she was censored for doing this because it's not the way it works. It doesn't work. We're not therapists to become triangulators. Our job as therapists is to guide a person to find the appropriate time that whatever they're saying to us, they could say to the other person. What stops you from telling him how you feel? What's in the way of it? What do you fear? Let's talk about your feelings, not about them and who they are. But, you know, it's hard to like make a buck that way as a therapist. I keep telling you, it's not what people want. People want a confidant. They want to be able to tell the truth. Of course, I understand. But my job is to help you become more empowered in your life and to become empowered to the point where you could do just about anything and live an honest life. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, which brings me to that thing about the positive life, an honest life. If that's not a goal in life, I can't imagine what is. Your goal is eventually, even if you come out of the worst lying stock of people. The goal is I live an honest life, a life where I don't have to keep secrets. That's a terrific goal. It's a goal where you really feel differently about yourself, you know? If it's a dangerous secret, one that's concerning an individual in immediate physical or emotional jeopardy, and it's held within your house, the boundary between family and the rest of the world becomes rigid, impenetrable. If there is a dangerous secret, you must expose it. You can't let that dangerous secret. If someone is being abused, your job in life is to make sure that abuse doesn't happen. Friends and relatives are not invited in. The family members' forays out are limited. Don't tell anyone. Our business becomes the family motto. Dirty little secrets, dirty little secrets, dirty little secrets. Don't keep them. So you have to break some family rules. So families create inviolable rules to help keep information hidden, making it impossible for members to ask for assistance or to use needed resources in the outside world. Even problems that don't touch on the secret will go unresolved if resolution requires outside help. Sarah, I remember, 37, came to see me. She spoke with great hesitation. If my family knew I was speaking to you, they'd be very angry. There are cultures that absolutely forbid that kind of thing. She told me about growing up in a family that completely revolved around her mother's addiction to tranquilizers. Father was a physician, and to this day, he writes her prescription. No one was supposed to know. The worst of it was we were supposed to act like we didn't know, she said. So they invented this don't ask, don't tell. And mom was killing herself with these tranquilizers prescribed by dad and this dysfunctional thing. And there you are as a kid watching it happen. How about alcoholism? How about when there's alcoholism in the family and everybody is sworn to secrecy? How about drug addiction? But alcoholism is such one of those big, big secrets. Let's not talk about it. Let's not do anything about it. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We've been talking about secrets, how you deal with secrets. I'll be talking to you about how you undo this when we get back from our break. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, my friends, we're going to talk more about how to deal with people's secrets and take your calls at 212-209-2900. You may have something you want to talk to us about. 212-209-2900. We'll be right back with you, my friends.
We have no secrets. We tell each other everything about the lovers in our past and why they didn't last. We share. We know each other's fantasies, and though we know each other better when we explore, sometimes I wish, often I wish that I never knew.
Carly Simon, just to bring a little Carly Simon before. So there, Atlanta, that was one of those dilemmas. I don't want to hear about your past lovers. I don't want to, Mike, your mic's open, Mike. I don't want to hear about those past lovers. You know, I don't want to know about your past. That's very often you say that. But then comes the question, why would somebody be talking about their past lovers? So a man who tells a woman about his past conquests but doesn't want to hear about any relationships she's had is doing a very interesting thing. He is, in a way, controlling the power. He's saying, this is all about me, and it's not about you, and there's nothing I want to see in you except that, you know, you're only with me. And then when a woman, but then there's the man who wants to hear everything about the other person's relationships. And I've tended to find that happens a lot with little boys. Little boys want to hear how mommy has been with daddy and about all the daddies that he's beating just by being with her. Again, usually the younger man, older woman syndrome. Now, conversation becomes eventually, when you become somebody who's a secret keeper, like Sarah McLachlan and other, Carly Simon in their songs. When you're conversation always becomes superficial. Since what's truly important can't be discussed, you become used to being talking about things that don't have truth in them. And the most important truth is, how do I really feel? So you don't say what you feel. You see, once you learn that truth is not welcome to the people who are in power, you just stop telling the truth. And not only do you stop telling the truth about what you feel, which includes I feel sad, I feel angry, and so on and so forth, what it also includes is that I can't tell you how I feel towards you. In fact, I can't even tell myself what I feel. I begin shutting off my own feeling. I become vacuous. I become empty. I become impossible. So, since individual well-being takes a backseat to the family thing, being a family member who challenges these internal secrets is very difficult. Taking the risk of opening a long-held secret to friends and loved ones may be seen as an act of betrayal. I have known cultures where people have said they've revealed that their father was abusing or the grandfather was abusing, and the person was drummed out of the family for doing this, because you're not allowed to tell it. I know one woman who stood up at her father's wake, and everybody was kind of honoring this man, and they were saying, oh, what a wonderful guy he was. He was such a wonderful guy. He was such a wonderful guy. And she stood up, and she said, at his wake, he wasn't such a wonderful guy. He abused me. What a time to do it. That was an inappropriate time, if I ever heard of one, because there she does. She's shattering everybody, and she's hurting everybody by doing it. And it was important to do. What she really had to do is do this with her mother. She had to confront her mother about this, but she tried. And mom said, absolutely not true. It can't be true. It can't be true. So as a last resort, what she did was at her father's wake, she brought this about. And the result of it was everybody thought she was crazy. I mean, everybody, they kind of may have believed it, but everybody knew it was an inappropriate thing to do at that moment. I don't allow any of my clients to let their final telling be with me. My secrets as a professional helper is a double-edged sword. Sharing secrets with professionals may negatively affect a marriage. There's something difficult about a husband or wife who is in therapy who does not talk to the husband and wife about what they talk to the therapist about. Our job as therapists is to encourage you to have the best relationship possible with your mate. So I'm going to direct you back there. Okay, how are you going to let